Welcome to Stand in the Gap Today with Sam Rohr, Gary Dahl, and David Kistler of the American Pastors Network, addressing the most critical issues impacting our culture from a biblical and constitutional perspective. Learn more about the work of the American Pastors Network at AmericanPastorsNetwork.net.
Well, good Wednesday to each and every one of you, wherever you might be, up and down the Stand in the Gap Today radio network, along with Sam Rohr and David Kistler. I'm Gary Dahl. We are certainly delighted to have you with us no matter where you might be, no matter what you might be doing, no matter what time of the day it is, because this particular program is aired at different times on different stations across the nation. But wherever you are, we certainly do want to thank you so very, very much for the pleasure of your company. And we want to once again welcome some new stations who are part of the Kingdom Keys Network in the great state of Texas. These stations are in Canadian, Texas, Childress, Texas, Plainview, Texas, Perryton, Texas, Dumas, Texas. And so if you happen to be listening on one of those radio stations, we are delighted to have you with us. And, of course, if you are listening on the station that's been with us ever since the beginning of our program or subsequently came on board, we welcome you back. If you are a new listener, this program is on every day at this same time on this radio station as we talk about issues that relate to society, to culture, and try to bring a biblical and a constitutional point of view, mainly a biblical worldview. So I think this is the kind of a program you will enjoy and you will benefit from. We would encourage you to go to our Stand in the Gap Radio site, which is www.standinthegapradio, simply one word, standinthegapradio.com, and learn more about this program, other programs that we produce, learn about the hosts, and I think it would be advantageous to you to go there because at that site, you can even correspond with us. And so we would be delighted to have you go there. Once again, it's www.standinthegapradio.com. Today, during the second segment of the program, we are going to be having with us Dr. Jimmy DeYoung. Jimmy, of course, is the host of Prophecy Today, which is on many, many stations across the nation. And we are going to be talking to him about the resurrection of the Sanhedrin over in Israel. Many of us who have been Bible students and scholars down through the years know that the Sanhedrin was in existence during the days our Savior was on the face of the earth. Well, it's being resurrected after 1,500 years. And we're going to be talking about the fact that they are holding court against the Pope, President Obama, John Kerry, and Dave or Sam, I didn't see your name in there, but I think that's good if it's not in there. But but the Sanhedrin right. is back. And then during the third segment today, we are going to be having Tennessee Pastors Network President Dale Walker with us to talk about the Kim Davis rally that he attended yesterday down in Kentucky. So we have a very, very full program for you. But before we get to all of that, there is going to be something taking place at 1 o'clock Eastern Time in Washington, D.C., and it is a rally that has been established by the Tea Party and Ted Cruz. And Ted Cruz, of course, invited Donald Trump and others to be a part of that particular rally. And Sam, as I understand, they're expecting to draw thousands of anti-Iranian and anti-Obamian protesters who do not stand in favor of the Iranian deal that this administration has established. I even understand that Sarah Palin is going to be there. It's going to be interesting to see how that all turns out this afternoon at 1 o'clock, Sam.
Well, absolutely correct. And I think it's appropriate that they are doing it because a vote obviously is being planned. I had heard this morning, there's going to be a vote today, but there's going to be in the next day or two anyways, a vote in the House on this. I heard Senator Harry Reid this morning on this issue in his bombastic fashion, as people are used to hearing him whine, saying, why in the world is the Senate even going to pull a vote up? Why is the House even going to vote on this issue? Because we're not even, because it's not going to go anywhere in the Senate anyway. So they don't want a vote to happen, but the House is going to is actually going to look at that at some point, unless they've pushed it off. And that'll be interesting to note if they actually push it off for some reason. My fear has been, Gary and Dave, that leadership would want to perhaps avoid issues of this type if they think, in fact, it's not going to go anywhere. That's what Harry Reid said. So we'll see what that leadership does. But big issue. And, you know, I think it was significant even the other day, Colin Powell came out in favor of it. So the president has been working very, very hard to try and line up as much support of this very, very treacherous bill, in my opinion. Or not bill, agreement.
Well, they have 41 votes right now in the Congress. That's far more than the 34 needed to back a presidential veto. So, you know, they've got those 41 votes. It's interesting to note that Josh Earnest said, and I quote, "We certainly would expect that those members of Congress who support the agreement to take the necessary steps in Congress to prevent Congress from undermining the agreement," end quote. That was quite a statement from Josh Earnest, Dave.
Well, Gary, it was. And what I heard probably an hour ago, and again, I've been searching to try to confirm if that's still going on, but I heard about an hour ago, gentlemen, that there was some attempt to filibuster, even a vote coming up on the bill. And so that would dovetail with what Josh Earnest was saying about any attempt to sabotage it. Gentlemen, it's really tragic. I wish I could be in D.C. today. Gary, you know, a number of years ago, you and I attended that first Glenn Beck rally called Restoring Honor, mm-hmm. the estimated 750,000, and I would think that was probably about correct, number of people that attended that rally. This has got a lot of key people and key organizations backing this one today, so it'll be interesting to see how much the media covers this and what kind of response, what kind of impact the rally has at all. But, gentlemen, barring something really dramatic occurring, it looks like the votes are present there in the Senate to prevent this thing from being stopped. In other words, the president can override any attempt, you know, to stop it. And so it looks like it's going to go through, unfortunately.
Well, I think we need to pray. The information that I have says that a vote could come as soon as Friday, September 11th. Which is a date favored by the Republicans to maximize the emotional impact on that, because we all know what took place on 9/11/01. It's interesting, Sam, that Josh Earnest has referred to this rally that's taking place today as a big pro-war rally. Think about that, a big pro-war rally.
Well, see, Gary, that's what this president and John Kerry has attempted to do to Congress, to force them out of fear to say that if they vote or speak against this, that they are actually asking for war. And they're saying that this is the greatest assurance of peace in the Middle East that we could hope for. Well, the whole rest of the world, all of the Middle East, knows that it's the exact opposite. So, I mean, we continue to witness this the enormous effort to lie and to deceive. And unfortunately, we've got a lot of our guys in Washington who ought to know better, who are just deceived themselves and are believing the lie.
Well, they are. It'll be interesting to see how this rally takes place and what happens. I understand that Glenn Beck is going to be there. Mark Levin's going to be there. Louie Gohmert's going to be there. Sarah Palin's going to be there. And no doubt we'll be talking a little bit about it tomorrow. Well, ladies and gentlemen, when we come back, we're going to be having with us once again Dr. Jimmy DeYoung from the Prophecy Today broadcast. We're going to be talking about the resurrection of the Sanhedrin after 1,500 years and what they're up to. So don't go away. We will be back with more Stand in the Gap Today right after these messages.
I'm Sam Rohr, president of the American Pastors Network. If you're a parent or grandparent and want to help bring spiritual renewal to America, here's where you should start, with your children and grandchildren. Our children need a godly education, one that mirrors the Christian values embraced by our founders and taught in the home by many of you. BJU Press, the Christian homeschool curriculum leader, makes homeschooling fun and exciting. Exceeding all national standards, BJU Press textbooks are accurate, dependable, and well-researched. They're designed to promote excellence for everyone. every child and are adaptable to different learning styles and challenges. Carefully integrating a true biblical worldview throughout BJU Press textbooks set the standard for academic instruction. That's why I so strongly endorse BJU Press textbooks and encourage their use by homeschoolers and Christian schools alike. If you're a parent and want to find out more, visit BJU Press online at bjupresshomeschool.com or by calling 800-845-5731. That's bjupresshomeschool.com.
Deer might be fun to look at, but they can rub the bark off your trees overnight, creating thousands of dollars in damage. Ordinary tree wraps or stormwater pipe can't stand up to deer when they're rutting or in heat. Hi, I'm Jim Saunders, the creator of Tree Armor, the world's first and only spring-loaded tree guard. Tree Armor stands up to any buck, protecting young trees up to 4 inches thick from deer rubbing as well as power tools. It's infused with a natural cayenne pepper scent that repels deer before they can do damage to your trees. It's brown and almost invisible from a short distance, and Tree Armor is the only tree guard made in America using only EPA-approved vinyl, free of lead and heavy metals found in other imported products. Tree Armor is not available in stores, but you can buy it from the manufacturer at a huge discount. Go to our website, mytreearmor.com, and buy as many as you need from about $3 each. We even pay the postage. That's mytreearmor.com to protect your trees.
Hey, Grandma, can you help me with my Common Core lesson on the Constitution? I know you always said how important it is, but the only part we're reading in eighth grade is the preamble and the First Amendment. I wonder when we'll get to study the rest of it. Didn't you say our founding fathers were wise patriots and wrote the Constitution and the Bill of Rights to protect our freedom? This Common Core book we're reading by Linda Monk says our founding fathers were racist and they didn't think women or blacks should ever be allowed to vote. She says, we the people didn't really mean you and me, but some rich white guys. That just makes me feel terrible about our country. We need to change things.
Oh, honey, that's not true at all. Our country is the greatest country the world has ever seen, and our founding fathers worked hard to be fair to everyone. I'm going to call our school board and our state board of education and ask why they allow Common Core and this book in your school.
Call your representatives now and ask them to stop Common Core and restore local control. Pennsylvanians for Restoring Education brought you this message. Go to parestoringeducation.org or call 484-678-2236.
A nation of well-informed men who have been taught to know and prize the rights which God has given them cannot be enslaved. It is in the region of ignorance that tyranny begins. A quote from Benjamin Franklin.
We the People t-shirts, where freedom is always in style. Famous quotes from patriots throughout U.S. history printed on the back of our t-shirts. We do over 25 quotes in a variety of colors. High-quality t-shirts with a meaningful message that make people think. Encourage others by reminding them about patriots of conviction who have gone before us. Order directly from wethepeopletshirts.us. For more information, call 757-645-8878.
You're listening to Stand in the Gap Today, the daily radio program of the American Pastors Network. For more information, visit the APN website, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net, and walk through the resource library to find over 500 separate resources with more added every week. Our resource library is a collection of biblical worldview resources categorized according to selected topics like abortion, marriage, the Constitution, evolution and creation, and much more. The resource library is free to use and designed for pastors or anyone who wants to find the very best materials available to more effectively relate biblical truth on a full range of issues facing the culture. Again, visit the website today, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net, and find out how you can help reverse cultural decline, equipped with the best resources available. And now, let's rejoin the American Pastors Network and stand in the gap today.
Well, welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Stand in the Gap today, along with Dave Kistler, Sam Rohr. I'm Gary Dull. What a delight it is to have you with us, no matter where you may be. We thank you for the pleasure of your company. And we want to welcome to the program for just a short period of time, that would be just one segment today, Dr. Jimmy DeYoung. Of course, he is no stranger to this particular program. And to those of you who are a part of our regular audience, And Dr. Jimmy DeYoung, it's a delight to have you back with us, even though it's just for a short period of time here this afternoon.
Well, it's great to be with you guys, and praise the Lord for your outreach, the expansion of the network. Boy, that's great news to hear.
Well, God's good, and, you know, we're thankful for what he's doing. Before I defer to Sam, who will basically lead the questioning on this, you know, it's interesting, Jimmy, to see that the Sanhedrin is being reformed after 1,500 years. And people who are students of the Bible and Bible history will realize that the Sanhedrin was very active during the days of Christ on the earth. But if you can just briefly explain to our people what the Sanhedrin is and what they're up to these days.
Well, it was the Supreme Court of the Jewish people at the time of Jesus Christ. They were headquartered there in the city of Jerusalem. Actually, they had two meeting places. One was on the Temple Mount. That was the location where they would meet, along with the working with and in cooperation with the high priest. Then they had a place up on Mount of Olives, and that was the location there at Bethpage where they convicted Jesus Christ and then put him on a cross because of the crimes he had committed against the Jewish people. They were there in Jerusalem until, I guess, about 100 years after the beginning of the church, but also the departure of Jesus Christ. They moved up to Tiberias there on the Sea of Galilee, stayed there for a number of years, about 1,500 years ago. As you say, they disappeared around 1,400 years after Christ, and they had just reformed recently. I have met with the chairman of the Sanhedrin at one time, Nachman Kahane. He's on my DVD, Ready to Rebuild, because of the significance of the Sanhedrin and the building of the temple. Hillel Weiss, we met at the location where the Sanhedrin meet, talked with him, did an interview with him. And so they are real people. They are a group of over 70 wise Jewish scholars. Most of them have one or two, at least, PhDs. I know the chairman has five different PhDs on the study of different disciplines. But they are now, and there are reports, and it's a mixed report, I'm not exactly sure, but I understand that they are part of the Israeli judicial system, an official part of that, and they are moving to bring indictments against peoples, as we're going to be talking about, and doing exactly what they did 2,000 years ago.
Well, thank you, Jimmy. And I'm going to jump right in on that because we have far more to go over here than what we're going to be able to get done. But getting right into it, yes, this Sanhedrin, 71 members, have issued, in effect, subpoenas, and I'm looking at the document right here before me, many pages long, where they have actually put together seven counts that include, for instance, count one, breach of the covenant between God and the descendants of Noah. Second, theft and conspiracy to conduct theft of the land of Israel from the people of Israel, and so forth. And they go through this, and they list out these seven indictments. And they have issued these to include some of these same people here. First, Pope Francis, head of the church, number one. Two, Barack Obama. Three, Secretary of State John Kerry. The White House, Washington, D.C., the United States of America generally. Four, the signatories of the Iran nuclear agreement. The United Nations Security Council, UNESCO's, the Supreme Court of the United States of itself is called out for sexual crimes, basically in their marriage rulings. Human Rights Court in The Hague of Netherlands, the International Criminal Court, and the European Union, number 10. This is extraordinary from my perspective that this entity is stepping forth in their first act of business, more or less, is to bring indictments against the world's leaders. How significant is this, Jimmy?
I believe it's very, very significant because in order to put the temple on the Temple Mount, the Jewish people have to have the Sanhedrin in place, and there have to be a valid court that can deal with issues as it relates to the Word of God and the understanding of the Jewish people as to how this ought to be in place. For example, today, President Obama was to appear before the Sanhedrin on the area of the Mount of Olives, Mount Zion, in Jerusalem. I don't think he's there. They're going to try him in absentia. That is absolute. The Pope's supposed to appear on the 20th of September. These are valid indictments that have been brought against these people. It's unbelievable. The Supreme Court is going to be summoned. I don't know if they're going to reciprocate to the original Supreme Court of the Jewish people, but they're being brought before the Sanhedrin because of sodomy, same-sex marriage, the decision they made. I mean, it's an unbelievable piece of work they put together in these indictments with seven counts. I mean, people ought to understand what they are, but this is reality, and this is valid as it relates to the Jewish people and their plans and God's plans for the Jewish people in the future.
Jimmy, as a part of this document, in addition to the things that you're talking about, and they do, they bring count six is sexual immorality, and they bring a charge specifically against Barack Obama, John Kerry, Supreme Court of the United States, and the European Union, and they say this: they collectively and individually have promoted sexual immorality throughout the world, particularly in the matter of homosexuality, and through the promotion of and through promiscuity beyond, and they talk a whole pile of things about it. I mean, these things are true, Jimmy, but because of time, I want to go to the end of this. In the addendum, they provide an option for all of these people that they have summoned, and they said, as a way of avoiding the hearing, they have options. If they come out and they say these things, if they come out, they can avoid the trial if they admit that the land of Israel, according to its full borders, as defined in the five books of Moses. Two, that the defendants will do everything in their power to help the people of Israel return into their land in total. Three, that the defendants will renounce all recognition of a foreign state or foreign entity within the borders of the land of Israel. That's basically the state of Palestine, or that effort by the Pope and what the president's talking about. And then this one here, and I want to ask about the significance of this. Number four. If they state those things, and then they state this, number four, that the defendants, these all that they've listed, will support the rebuilding of the Holy Temple to the God of Israel, Lord of the world, in order to radiate peace to the world and to atone for the misdeeds of the nations and bring offering of repentance before the whole world. Wow, what a statement. Do they have significance here, Jimmy, in regard to actually requesting rebuilding of the temple, which we've talked about on this program?
Well, they do have significance. They are key because they're the ones that administer the operation of the temple when it's rebuilt. They are the ones who will approve and pass halakhic rulings. Halakhic means the Jewish law as to what has to be done in the preparations for the next temple, which will be the tribulation temple upcoming between the time of the rapture and the second coming of Jesus Christ. It will be on the Temple Mount in Jerusalem. But in addition to that, they administer that temple when it's standing on the Temple Mount. So it's very valid what they're doing. Those preparing to build the temple, they are a part. In fact, I believe the man who was the chairman, Nachman Kahana, who I interviewed on my DVD, he is the chairman, but I think he stepped aside from that for the purpose. I believe they've elected him to be the high priest, and that's their responsibility as well.
Jimmy, I noticed that there are seven counts in this indictment. Is there any significance to the number of counts, the fact that there are seven, because the number seven is so important to the Jewish people? Is that significant, or is that strictly coincidental in your opinion?
I think it's coincidental, and the reason is they have different types of indictments against certain people. For example, the indictment for bloodshed and murder against the Jewish people by the Palestinians, Ezekiel chapter 35, says that the Palestinians will kill and steal. They will kill the Jewish people and steal their land. And then when you talk about idolatry in count number five, it's forsaking the true God. And the whole world is forsaking the true God. This is an indictment not only against the subjects that we mentioned, but the whole world. They want this world to get back under the authority of God Almighty, and that's what they're endeavoring to do.
And Jimmy, I'm wondering, where would Benjamin Netanyahu be in this whole process?
Benjamin Netanyahu is going to have to recognize that there is a validity in the fact that the Sanhedrin has been reformed. In fact, he talked about it in one of his Bible studies. He has a weekly Bible study with his sons and some very important Jewish scholars. No Christians, just these Jewish scholars. So he understands they are part and will be a part of the judicial system. He understands the history of them. They've discussed that. He's not going to come out and blatantly say to the world, you better come over here and stand before the Sanhedrin. But he agrees with what they're doing.
Well, you know, as we so often say, it's exciting to watch what God's doing. It's exciting to watch the prophetic time clock run down. And I'm waiting for the voice of the archangel and the trump of God and Jesus appearing in the clouds of the sky saying, come up hither. Jimmy DeYoung, thank you very much for being with us. God bless you as you continue to serve the Lord.
Thank you, sir, and I hope that trumpet blows today, brother.
I'm ready, brother.
Amen.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to take a break, but when we come back, we'll be having a fellow with us who was at the hearing yesterday, or I should say the rally yesterday with Kim Davis. You won't want to miss this upcoming segment. Stay tuned.
These are the times that try men's souls. The summer soldier and the sunshine patriot will, in this crisis, shrink from the service of their country. But he that stands it now deserves the love and thanks of man and woman. Tyranny, like hell, is not easily conquered. Yet we have this consolation with us, that the harder the conflict, the more glorious the triumph. Thomas Paine, The American Crisis, 1776.
Fox News Radio. I'm Chris Foster. The Senate debates the Iran nuclear deal this afternoon.
Ask every senator to reflect upon its gravity.
Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell. Now, there's enough support pledged to kill any opposition anyway. Hillary Clinton says she believes the deal makes Israel safer.
I say that with humility. I'm not Israeli. I don't know what it's like to live under constant threat from your neighbors in a country where the margin for error is so thin.
Iran's supreme leader says there will be no negotiations with the United States beyond this nuclear deal. Ayatollah Ali Khamenei is also predicting Israel will not exist in 25 years, making the Big Apple less salty.
It passes unanimously.
New York City's Board of Health votes that chain restaurants have to put warning labels on menu items with more than 2,300 milligrams of sodium. It's the first rule of its kind in the country. Fox News, we report, you decide.
The first U-Turn conference sponsored by the American Pastors Network was a life-changing experience for pastors and Christian leaders throughout Pennsylvania and beyond. Now we have the opportunity to take this conference across America. A matching gift offer for $30,000 will be doubled to $60,000 in order to bring U-Turn events to many more states in 2016. All gifts made through September 30 will be doubled. Visit AmericanPastorsNetwork.net and go to the donate button to make your immediate gift to equip pastors and all believers to stand in the gap for truth.
Kings or Parliament could not give the rights essential to happiness. We claim them from a higher source, from the King of Kings and Lord of all the earth. They are not annexed to us by parchments and seals. They are created in us by the decrees of Providence which establish the law of our nature. They are born with us, exist with us, and cannot be taken from us by any human power without taking our lives. A quote from John Dickinson, 1804.
Working for your liberty right here in Philadelphia. Broadcasting freedom, shining light throughout the tri-state area. Streaming freedom, shining light from Philly to the nations. 1180 shining forth, we are the Freedom Station. WFYN.
You're listening to Stand in the Gap Today, the daily radio program of the American Pastors Network. For more information, visit the APN website, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net, and walk through the resource library to find over 500 separate resources with more added every week. Our resource library is a collection of biblical worldview resources categorized according to selected topics like abortion, marriage, the Constitution, evolution and creation, and much more. The resource library is free to use and designed for pastors or anyone who wants to find the very best materials available to more effectively relate biblical truth on a full range of issues facing the culture. Again, visit the website today, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net, and find out how you can help reverse cultural decline, equipped with the best resources available. And now, let's rejoin the American Pastors Network and stand in the gap today.
Well, welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. And, of course, there are so many things we can talk about here on this program. And That's one of the good reasons why we are on every day, 5 days a week, Monday through Friday, on this, your favorite radio station, this same time every day, Monday through Friday. And we would encourage you to continue to come back and visit us. And, of course, if you want, you can go to our website, which is www.standinthegapradio.com, and learn more about us, as well as we would encourage you to invite others to join with us on a regular basis as well. Having said that, and of course having gone through a tremendous segment two with Dr. Jimmy DeYoung, we're also now delighted to have with us Pastor Dale Walker. Dale Walker is the president of our Tennessee Pastors Network, and he had the privilege of being in attendance yesterday at the rally in Moorhead, Kentucky, where Mike Huckabee and Matt Staver and others were involved with this great rally with Kim Davis and her husband. And Dale, we want to welcome you to Stand in the Gap today, my friend.
Hey, it's a blessing to be joining Stand in the Gap Radio from Tennessee.
And it's a blessing to have you with us, certainly. And, you know, first of all, I'm glad that you were able to be there, you along with another one of our pastors. You not only represented the Tennessee Pastors Network, but the American Pastors Network. And I'm just wondering, right off the chute here, what is your general overall evaluation of the rally yesterday down there in Kentucky?
Yes, Pastor Ben Graham and myself was able to travel up and be at that historic rally that was held there at the Carter County Detention Center in Kentucky. Pretty much in the Bible Belt of the United States. It was definitely encouraging when we got there and heard news that she was being released. But the mood of the rally, once we arrived and saw the thousands of people, much of the media just said there was hundreds of people. Well, I was there. There was literally thousands of people. The traffic was horrendous. We had to park probably about a mile and a half away from the rally. But it was a good, solid, uplifted mood. It was almost like a good church service where God's people was coming together for one purpose and for one cause.
And that's good. I mean, I'm glad that they did come together for that purpose and for that cause. And were there any protesters there that really made a big noise, Dale?
No, I saw some that was there on the other, certainly on the other side, but for the most part, everything moved along very smoothly. Did not see any issues that come up in the crowd at all.
Mm-hmm. And did you have the opportunity to communicate at all with Kim Davis or her husband?
Actually, we were blessed. When we were leaving, she was actually exiting a patrol car and getting in the vehicle with her husband. And I did just verbally share with her, "Dear sister, the Tennessee Pastors Network is praying for you, and we are behind you."
Amen. That's good.
Dale, this is Sam here. It's just so good to have you on here with us and have a personal report from that setting yesterday. Let me ask you, just put our listeners in your stead. If they would have been there, you may already alluded to, you kind of compared it to a church service more or less, but the overall mood of the people that were there that you talked with and so forth, were they there with a defiant attitude? Were they there with a humble, concerned attitude? What was the sense of the attitude of the people that you saw gathered there at the event yesterday?
Well, it certainly was a concerned, prayerful attitude. It wasn't it wasn't a defiant attitude. It was a very Christian attitude, like Second Chronicles tells us, "If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and seek my face." And I think that was the overall mood that I could say the crowd was, is that people were seeking the face of God on behalf of this dear Christian sister that was standing, on her constitutional values and her biblical worldview.
One question for you, and I know Dave's going to go to, just follow up on that. If you were to say you were listening to those who spoke, you listened to Matt Staver from Liberty Council, you heard Mike Huckabee, who was there. Much of the media has tried to lambast Mike Huckabee and diminish what he said, basically accusing him of grandstanding. And when it was Governor Chris Christie from New Jersey, who I think I first saw raise that accusation, which I think is a horrendous hypocritical thing for somebody to do. But nonetheless, when of those who spoke, Was there any one single thing that struck you as a most significant statement coming from either Matt or perhaps Mike himself when he addressed that group?
Well, Governor Huckabee made a very profound statement when he said, "I'll do 8 years in the White House, I'll do 8 years in jail, but I will not do one day of tyranny," because Governor Huckabee offered to go to jail for this dear lady. And that was a profound statement, I thought.
You know, Dale, this is Dave Kistler. I watched as much of the event yesterday as I possibly could, bouncing back and forth between Fox News and CNN. It was a little bit disturbing, gentlemen, to be honest with you, how often Fox News cut away from the comments that were being made by the initial speakers prior to getting actually to Matt Staver or to Mike Huckabee. But once the rally was over and Mike had made his statements, by the way, they did not air the statement, Dale, you just referenced that Mike made. But they kept trying to say, as Sam alluded to, that this was political grandstanding. It was merely an attempt by Mike Huckabee to up his chances as a political candidate. As you milled around the crowd there, the thousands of people that were there, would you say that any of them had the idea that this was political gamesmanship? It was Mike seizing a moment to advance his political campaign? Or did they really understand this is a religious liberty issue about which every American should be deeply concerned?
You know, the mood that I sensed in talking to Pastor Ben Graham and I, talking to a bunch of pastors there, was the fact that people was there because religious freedom is on the line in America. And everybody that was there, regardless whether they were running for president or not, they realized that people that was standing on that stage was standing for that lady that was in jail because her religious freedom has certainly been put on the line. But these judges that's making law from the bench and the people in that crowd appreciated everybody that was on that stage and standing for our religious freedom.
Dale,
you know,
can you
Dale,
describe?
It's interesting. I'm sorry. Go ahead, Dave.
Forgive me, Gary. I am sorry. But can you describe the moment? I was able to watch it on TV. It was really a moving moment when Kim stepped out from behind that door. Mike Huckabee was in tow, as was Matt Staver, and she walked up on the stage. You could tell she was overcome with emotion. Can you just try to recreate that moment, what it was like to see this lady who had spent 5 days in jail, really, literally, for her Christian faith, what it was like to see her respond to the overwhelming show of support that she was receiving yesterday?
Well, I was standing beside two preachers, Pastor Ben Graham being one of them, and I stepped up beside them and I said, "Pastors, just imagine what it's going to be like when we get to heaven and we see all the persecuted Christians that has been persecuted all down through the ages come out and they're no longer persecuted." That's the only way that I could recreate that moment and thinking about when she walked out in tears. But I think about all those that are blood washed that have been persecuted, and persecution has reached America.
It's interesting. Last night during our Project Timothy leadership training program I have with men at the church I pastor, we started talking about the concept of persecution. And persecution is something that as Christians we need to be prepared for. But Dale, as it relates to Kim Davis, what is the next step here? Now, I understand she may go back to work later on this week, maybe as soon as tomorrow. But is she going to be back in trouble again if she goes back to work? What can we expect that is going to come out of this in the next couple of days?
Well, Kim Davis was standing strictly on the Kentucky Constitution. You know, the Kentuckians, they enacted their marriage amendment back in 2004 with an overwhelming 75% of the vote. So if she goes back and she continues to stand on her biblical worldview and her biblical values, of which she has done so far, I certainly can't speak for her, but I know God's people are praying, and God can move and God can do wonderful things.
But is there a chance that she may end up back in jail?
That was the word that we heard on the street yesterday, yes, that there was a chance that she could end up back in jail. And again, that was just word that we heard on the street.
Well, certainly we do need to be praying for her and for that entire situation down there, but not only that entire situation, but for Christianity all across the country, because, you know, we know the Bible tells us that all who live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution, and we are seeing that taking place. We are seeing that growing all around us today, and, It's just sad, Sam, that we are living in a day and age where when somebody stands for their religious freedom, they end up in jail. Our founding fathers would roll over there in their grave if they knew about this.
Right. Amen.
Absolutely.
Well, Dale Walker, we want to thank you very, very much for being with us today. And I'm delighted that you were able to be there to represent the Tennessee Pastors Network and the American Pastors Network as well. Thank you for what you folks are doing down in Tennessee. God bless you. Keep looking up. Remember, you're on the winning side, Brother Dale.
Amen. Thank you. God bless you all.
Yeah. Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to take a break, and we will be back with more right after these messages as we sort of wrap up the program for today. You won't want to go away. We've got more to come, much more to come, so stay tuned.
A good man leaves an inheritance to his children's children. But have you ever stopped to ask how much is enough or how much is too much? Will the money you leave to your family come between them and God? I believe that God increases our wealth not to increase our standard of living, but to increase our standard of giving. This is Roy Russell, president of the Life Financial Group, a Christian wealth advisory firm. We work with believers and especially widows to wisely manage their wealth and efficiently pass it on to their children and grandchildren. We are financial, tax, and estate planners. We help successful Christians make wise decisions with their money so they can better provide for their families and leave a legacy of significance. Please call me with your questions or to discuss your needs and desires at 800-688-5800 or online at thelifegroup.org. That's thelifegroup.org.
Securities and advisory services offered through Genios Wealth Management, Inc., member FINRA and SIPC.
Deer might be fun to look at, but they can rub the bark off your trees overnight, creating thousands of dollars in damage. Ordinary tree wraps or stormwater pipe can't stand up to deer when they're rutting or in heat. Hi, I'm Jim Saunders, the creator of Tree Armor, the world's first and only spring-loaded tree guard. Tree Armor stands up to any buck, protecting young trees up to 4 inches thick from deer rubbing as well as power tools. It's infused with a natural cayenne pepper scent that repels deer before they can do damage to your trees. It's brown and almost invisible from a short distance, and Tree Armor is the only tree guard made in America using only EPA-approved vinyl, free of lead and heavy metals found in other imported products. Tree Armor is not available in stores, but you can buy it from the manufacturer at a huge discount. Go to our website, mytreearmor.com, and buy as many as you need from about $3 each. We even pay the postage. That's mytreearmor.com to protect your trees.
From the Pennsylvania Family Institute, I'm Michael Gear with today's Family Update. The release of a series of videos exposing terrible atrocities committed by Planned Parenthood in the name of reproductive health or the right to choose has awakened many to the truth of abortion and is stirring calls to restore protection for all innocent human life from conception until natural death. It's being described as a Wilberforce moment, so named for William Wilberforce, the British Member of Parliament, whose Christian faith led him to take a stand against the slave trade. On October 30th, we're hosting Eric Metaxas as the keynote speaker for our Friends of the Family Banquet. Eric Metaxas is the best-selling biographer of Wilberforce and Dietrich Bonhoeffer, two men who demonstrated the duty of Christians to stand up against the evil in their day. For more information about our Friends of the Family Banquet, go to pafamily.org. That's pafamily.org or call us at 1-800-FAMILY-1.
Nations who reject God will get evil rulers, and God is clear that when the evil bear rule, the people mourn. Today, our leaders arrogantly scoff at God and shamelessly violate His commands. And as God said would happen, the righteous are mourning. Hello, I'm Sam Rohr, president of the American Pastors Network. At APN, we encourage pastors to speak as prophets and boldly shout forth the truth to our leaders. On Mount Carmel, King Ahab, the evil political ruler, accused Elijah, the man of God, of being the source of Israel's economic troubles because he called sin, sin. Elijah did what pastors today must do when he declared, "I'm not the reason our land is suffering, O Ahab. It's you and the others in leadership because you've rejected God, His authority, and His commands." I'm Sam Rohr with the American Pastors Network saying, modern-day Elijahs are needed now more than ever. Will you encourage your pastor to speak like Elijah?
Sign up as a partner at papastors.net.
You're listening to Stand in the Gap Today, the daily radio program of the American Pastors Network. For more information, visit the APN website, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net, and walk through the resource library to find over 500 separate resources with more added every week. Our resource library is a collection of biblical worldview resources categorized according to selected topics like abortion, marriage, the Constitution, evolution and creation, and much more. The resource library is free to use and designed for pastors or anyone who wants to find the very best materials available to more effectively relate biblical truth on a full range of issues facing the culture. Again, visit the website today, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net, and find out how you can help reverse cultural decline, equipped with the best resources available. And now, let's rejoin the American Pastors Network and Stand in the Gap Today.
Well, to those of you who are new with us, particularly those who have just joined us with the Kingdom Keys Network down in Texas, we want to thank you very, very much for being with us today on the Stand in the Gap radio program. And, of course, you can see how fast this program goes and how it's filled with information. And we encourage you to go to our radio website, which is standinthegapradio.com, and learn more about this particular program and other programs that are produced by the American Pastors Network. Of course, if you are a regular listener, you can go to that particular website as well. But Dave and Sam, you know, as we have had two discussions today on two issues today. Number one, the fact that the Sanhedrin is coming back into existence, or has come back into existence over in Israel after 1,500 years. And the fact that Kim Davis was put in jail simply because of standing for her religious freedoms. And when we take into consideration that both of those indicate that we are getting closer and closer to the return of the Lord Jesus Christ, that is, both of them have a prophetic theme, it really is very significant that we who are a part of the body of Christ, we who are members of the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, must do everything that we can to be the salt and the light that God would have us to be, and to proclaim the truth as the Word of God tells us we are the pillar and the ground of truth. Sam, this is not a time to back up or to back down or to fold our arms and watch the world just deteriorate. This is the time to stand for truth, if more than ever before, perhaps, in my opinion.
Well, Gary, I think you're exactly correct. And I think in regard to what we talked about with the Sanhedrin, and just touched briefly on it right here, and Jimmy and I were able to talk offline a little bit, but I believe that you're going to see some very, very profound impacts coming out of what they did. And it ties into what you just said, because what they are doing in here, they have raised, by their own reference, God's moral standard and God's moral law and God's promises to Israel and God's promises to those who bless Israel and all that kind of thing. That's all here. If they lay this out from this perspective of God's word, the one true God. And by so doing, when they issue this subpoena, in effect, they are telling all of the world's leaders, most of the world's leaders, European Union, leaders of the United States, Russia, Germany, France, China for signing on the Iran deal, they indict them according to God's law. I mean, gentlemen, when you think about it, what is it that the world hates about the Christian? They don't necessarily hate the Christian. They hate what the Christian stands for. And that is for God's moral truth and the fact that we're all going to have to answer to God at some point, and He will be our final judge. The thinking is, throughout history, get rid of the Christian and you get rid of God. But it doesn't work that way. And I think that what has happened here with Israel, gentlemen, is that this moral authority is coming forth. They're citing God's word. They're citing historical promises. And I think that it is going to either, again, it's going to exacerbate, in some respects, the hatred of people toward Israel and ultimately towards God. But this is what the events of the latter times is all about, when God's going to confront these leaders of wickedness and say, look, I am God. I mean, I see these pieces coming together. It's remarkable.
Gentlemen, don't you think this is actually a fulfillment of Psalm 2, verse 2, which says, the kings of the earth rise up, and the rulers band together against the Lord and against his anointing, saying, let us break their chains and throw off their shackles. In other words, what the Sanhedrin has done is call these world leaders, the Pope as well, into account, calling our president into account. And Sam, I agree with you 100%. I think this is going to elicit intense animosity and anger from these world leaders who are attempting to throw off any restraint whatsoever, moral restraint, certainly God's restraint.
Well, Dave, you know, follow up on that, because at the end of the day, it's not the fact that there is not truth. It's the fact of who is truth. They cite in this that these leaders of the world have taken basically become truth to themselves. They have said man is truth. They have said they've detailed that in here. So when the European Union stands up in Barack Obama, who are the leaders of the one who want to bring forth this one world government, and the Pope himself involved in that. What is that? It's an authority that is opposed to God. God doesn't talk about a one world government coming up that he espouses. It's his government. They're standing in opposition to who God is. So is Russia in its background. So is China. And what they are. So this is really authority versus authority, and I can guarantee you which authority is going to win out in the end. It's going to be God's authority. But this is what the battle is all about. We find ourselves in the middle when we say stand in the gap for truth. This is what we're doing with this broadcast. It cuts both ways. Those who identify truth, adhere to it, and those who reject God, reject truth, and this is happening.
You know, I particularly appreciate the opportunity that the Sanhedrin is giving the defendants. If they want to avoid trial, there are certain things that they're asking them to do. Sam, you referred to that when Jimmy DeYoung was with us. There are four of them. But I like the language and the way that these things are worded. But that second component there basically calls for the recognition of prophecy, where it says that the defendants will do everything in their power to help the people of Israel return to their land in total. As the Bible says, so said the Lord of armies, in those days it will come to pass that 10 men from all languages of the nations will take hold, and they will grab onto the corner of the garment of a Jewish man, saying, we will go with you because we have heard that the Lord is with you. That's a quotation from Zechariah chapter 8 and verse 23. You know, they're holding their own prophetic conference over there.
it's exciting. I mean, it really, truly is. And in this, it says at the end, it's somewhat, you are hereby summoned. These are those who are summoned, these 10 entities. You are hereby summoned collectively and individually. So it's national and individual in their capacities. To answer to these accusations, says the commencement of the trial will take place on Mount Zion, which is where the Sanhedrin sits, on the 25th of Elul, 557-75. This is the year of 5775 of the Jewish calendar. Elul is the first month. It says, which this year corresponds to September 9th, the anniversary of the creation of the world. You will be allowed to speak in your own defense. If you don't come, the court is going to appoint a defense attorney of its own choosing. This is a remarkable, remarkable document, and I think, gentlemen, as it becomes further known, and however they're going to take and do this, Jimmy thinks that they're going to be holding much more court on Sunday and then at the end of this month, but this is going to be coming out, and we're going to follow it up more.
To those in our audience, how many of you would say this is the first you've heard about the resurrection of the Sanhedrin on this program? Now, we talked about it the other day, but you know, maybe this is the first time you've heard it. You've heard it in no other news source, right? I would venture to say that most of you can say that. That's why you need to be here every day. Well, on behalf of Dave Kistler and Sam Rohr, I want to thank you for being with us today. The Lord willing, we will be back in about 23 hours with more Stand in the Gap. So until then, keep looking up, because we know the best is yet to come. No doubt about it.
We hope you've enjoyed listening to Stand in the Gap today with Sam Rohr, Gary Dahl, and David Kistler. Brought to you by the American Pastors Network. Every day on this station, we address the most urgent issues undermining the culture from a biblical and constitutional perspective. APN takes seriously the command to be salt and light in this culture. Our mission is to declare truth into the public square, bringing a biblical worldview to the issues of the day. we seek to build a dynamic network of pastors across the nation who hold firmly to the authority of Scripture and boldly preach the whole counsel of God. This ministry is supported through the prayers and financial support of people like you, and we urge you to do all you can to help the American Pastors Network accomplish this mission. To learn more, visit www.AmericanPastorsNetwork.net and help us with your donation today. Find out how we're impacting the culture and how you can join in the mission. Join us again tomorrow for Stand in the Gap Today.
If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin and heal their land. 2 Chronicles 7:14. WFYL reminds you to pray for America.